Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the show. Man, have I got a throwback episode for you. Follow me because we're going to go back to 2007 at the very dawn of Stupid Cancer when it was called the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation and maybe had a little more hair on my head, but I was probably just as chubby, which is fine. Dad bod, no kids. And here I am in my second bedroom trying to start a nonprofit organization for the young adult cancer movement, which didn't even exist at the time. And someone throws me a bone, says, you can have a talk show on the internet that streams and does things. And what's the internet? Whatever. Hi, Friendster. And lo and behold, some weird, crazy things happened that got me on television playing myself in a scene that I wrote for Lifetime. Long story, I'll put a link to that weird video in the episode notes. But a young woman with cancer, randomly in the middle of nowhere, I didn't know her, she didn't know me, saw this episode of me playing myself in a scene with cancer patients at a bar talking about being young with cancer. She's like, I need to know what the hell this is. Her name was Leah Shearer, and she just emailed me out of the blue and said, oh my God, I cannot believe I did not know there were other people like me. And this was, again, 07. They really weren't support groups and institutionalized, you know, processes or whatever, therapy sessions. Nothing was there. So Leah Shearer is my guest today. And this is just she's such an amazing human being that I've known forever. One of those friends where, like, if you don't talk for 6 months or 6 years, you just pick up where you left off. She is married now. She's happy. She's a professor at a university. And she's here in studio, and I haven't seen her in a long time, and you're just going to love our conversation. It's retro, it's throwback, it's Gen X, it's origin story, it's history series, but it's about how the sausage really got made and the very, very origins of what Stupid Cancer meant and stood for and how it built a movement of everyone that just wanted to make cancer suck less for everyone else. Enjoy the show. Leah Shearer, it's 2008. Welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show. No. Welcome to Out of Patience, the new Stupid Cancer Show.
Oh my gosh. Am I on Park Ave in Rochester?
I don't know. Listeners, I just broke her. She can't concentrate anymore.
I can't. I'm having flashbacks.
I meant what I said in the intro, folks, that this is a true, genuine, authentic before times. We talk about the pandemic before times. This is the before times. This is when we were still using AOL and there were some blockbusters left in the country. And I had this stupid idea to get into nonprofit work. And lo and behold, it worked because I had the chance to be introduced to this extraordinary... I'll still call you a young woman because you're always going to be Leah Shearer, like 23 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. Except I wasn't 23. I was in my 30s at that point.
Well, you look good.
Yeah. Wait, no, wait. Was I? Yeah, I was 30, 31, 32 at that point. So
how old was I? It was 05. I was 31.
It was 07 because
I was 33.
All right. So at that point, we were in 07. We were in writer's strike.
Oh, wow. Remember those days.
Uh-huh. Oh, and now here we are again.
Yeah, we're recording this at the exact time of the SAG-AFTRA strike. At the SAG-AFTRA strike. Yeah, words.
Writers and actors now. So at that time, I was watching a lot of television, and I was just kind of trying to get myself back from a second bout with cancer. And lo and behold, I ended up watching a TV show that I became a super fan of, which was Side Order of Life.
So let's backtrack that. You've been kind of screwed up since your teenage years, though.
Yeah.
The fuckery started like in high school.
It did. So to make a long, long story short, so I was chronically ill starting in my teens. That continued on into my 20s. And lo and behold, when I was 26 years old, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. But it was at that time of diagnosis, it was literally like, what?
I mean, were you relieved? You had crazy symptoms? Like, finally, it's something?
A funny thing you say that, because I was befuddled.
That is the SAT word of the day.
Oh, I'll throw them out there for you.
Well, let's pay tribute to Paul Rubens, who died yesterday as of this recording. You know, and like when they say the magic word on Pee Wee Herman, all the streamers come down and the chair goes crazy.
I know. Well, I was just reading a post. The magic word is love.
Ah.
Because that was, you know, like, that was, I think that was Jack A. Harry that had that post, the magic word is love. But yeah, Pee-wee, I'm a morning person. I'm like Pee-wee. My husband jokes with me. He's like, ha-ha. You know, I can't do the voice, but my husband. Exactly. But yeah, lo and behold, that was not a relief for me. It was for, in a weird way, my dad, as I was waking up from a 10-hour surgery that was supposed to be four.
For the thyroid cancer.
For the thyroid cancer. They got in there. And
10 hours? I don't even think I don't know about it.
All the things
I know about you, I didn't know this.
We could double check that with my parents or with my mom. My dad passed away this fall. But, you know, it was waking up. It might have been, but it was longer. I know that much. You know, those details you always have to fact check with your parents who weren't under severe, you know, forms of drugs and all those things. But as I was coming to, I just remember first my sister's face as I was being wheeled in, and then my dad. And my dad was crying, and he said, they finally figured out what it is after all these years. And I couldn't speak because they had the cancer was in my vocal cords, so I had no voice.
Mm.
And there was some talk, and my parents kind of knew this from the surgeon, that, you know, whether my voice would return at all or what state it would be in, but just be grateful for this, you know, because it's a survivorable cancer. So, you know.
And yet you had medieval surgery.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, my scar is curved from ear to ear. And the only other, you know, I've only met a few other people that have the kind of extensive scar that I have.
You're not the little zipper.
Exactly. I'm not the little zipper. And that's what I was expecting. I went in thinking I was going to get the little zipper. And so I had to kind of form that, okay, what do I do now? I look like Frankenstein. And it was like a tidal wave hit me. And
well, you're in high school, right?
No.
You were in
this was at no past college. This was 26.
So you were kind of a grown-up-ish thing.
Oh yeah. Okay. And I, you know, I had been dealing with chronic illness and trying to work career around that chronic illness and figuring out what that meant. And here I am. Oh, by the way, you have cancer, and you might have had it for a decade. It's just slow growing. And that's why you had all these symptoms. And that's why, you know, maybe. And of course, he said that, the surgeon said that fresh from surgery. But then it was like, well, we don't know these things. We can't be sure. So, you know, in the secondary appointment, a little backtracking. But when they're fresh from surgery, I learned that that's when you get the real kind of unfiltered story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but that's...
Well, you know that I was diagnosed with brain cancer and given Robitussin before
I was actually diagnosed.
Do you have a Robitussin story?
You know, I probably have many of them, but I think they're all a blur. I think all that came into focus at that point was like just a blur of a lot of like missing out on stuff, missing out on teenage years, losing all my friends, having an experience that, you know, had to kind of be meandered through.
And no Twitter, the doom scroll.
Yeah, no. You know, the internet was in its, you know, when you talk infancy, like, you know, in my
Friendster,
teen years.
AOL chat groups.
No, like a DOS version with green, like, lit up letters that my, you know, and my dad introduced me to my first chat room. But I was talking to, like, people who had CB radios, and they're like, oh, this is cool. So I couldn't.
Breaker 19, thyroid cancer.
Right. So I couldn't find, you know, that was in my teen years and didn't know about the thyroid cancer then. But flash forward, here I am in 2006, 2004 when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Fast forward, we're really fast forwarding through this to 2007 after I had been diagnosed with a second cancer.
Well, your body said one wasn't enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely I'm in it to win it. You know, just like, oh yeah. So by the time I had the second cancer, I didn't know someone. It was bad enough to have one. I didn't know someone who had survived two or hear about them. So I thought, this
let alone
is
being
it.
In their like 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. And I had just got back on, you know, the dating scene. I was trying to, you know, have a match.com profile and
right.
be a person again. And so Hodgkin's lymphoma came into my life. And therein from that, I was just really just lost. And I saw this show called Side Order of
Let's take
Life.
A break and, okay. and talk about the show because I don't know if the listeners know this. I mean,
okay.
I've told this before. It's,
yeah.
You can Google this forever. Right. But so I'm too young for this. Cancer Foundation was the origin of Stupid Cancer. And it officially launched in January of 2007. And it started with just a website of resources and buttons that said, I'm angry, I'm broke, I can't have kids, I need a lawyer. It was just like, you know, go fuck me. I could have called it fuck me, but I wouldn't get funding for it. And I think it was in that spring that I started the radio show because someone like handed to me this, hey, what's this internet streaming talking thing?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, it's like, you know, like AM talk radio, but on the internet. Well, what's the internet?
Yeah.
So I started this thing in, I think it was late May 28th, like May 27th in 2007. And I don't know how this happened, but within 2 weeks, I got a call from the producers of HBO's Warm Springs. And they had heard the show somehow, and they were in the process of leaving HBO to start a TV show on Lifetime called Side Order of Life. And
Margaret Nagel.
That was her name. Oh, yeah, you are.
Margaret Nagel. I'll never forget Margaret.
Tribute to Margaret Nagel. So they were writing a scene. All right, it was like Ally McBeal, but in like an ad agency, if I'm remembering that correctly. And they wanted one of the characters to have brain cancer because that's always the go-to cancer on television. You know, Hodgkin's lymphoma isn't really sexy on television. So it was like in between when the show launched and they called me. We had our first like Washington, D.C. meetup at a bar. And again, I don't know if they were – no one took pictures. I don't know
how
this – No
one took pictures?
Who had cameras in 2007?
True. Like, Somebody had a digital camera somewhere.
Maybe they had like the cameras with the flash cubes. I have no idea. Somehow Margaret Nagel and her team saw photos of the Washington, D.C. happy hour with all these young adult cancer survivors at the very origins of I'm Too Young for This. And they called me. I don't know how they got that in my number. I have no idea how this happened. I keep saying those words over and over again. And said, we would like you to come in as a script advisor and help us write a scene for Vivi, I think was the character's name on the show.
Vivi.
And make absolutely. Sure that she goes to a support group that looks like the one you had in Washington.
Deanna Maria Riva.
All right, you can stay.
Fantastic.
Your brain, my God. So long story short, I wrote the scene for them. They decided that I should fly out to Pasadena for a shoot at some bar. I played myself in the scene, and then the episode launched on Lifetime, and they had like millions of people watching Lifetime back then. And you somehow saw that episode with me in it.
Not only did I see that episode, I'm going to get teary-eyed. I'm genuinely. I was on my couch a lot of the time. And I had a series of roommates. At some points, I was, you know, back to my mom's house because I couldn't, you know, I had no, you know, I had, didn't have my energy back. I didn't have my zing back. And I saw that episode and I cried like a baby because it was what I wanted to see. And I had gone around town looking for what I wanted. I wanted it to just be there, you know, just for me, ready-made, kind of help me, you know, sit in a circle and cry and whatever, I'll do whatever it takes. But the people sitting in the circle and crying about their cancer, crying about different things. They were crying about, oh, I can't go to my, you know, retirement vacation home.
Different people with different issues.
Different people with different issues, different age. And I saw that episode and it just turned on a light bulb like, damn, that has to be something that can be possible. And then I found the website. I went to the website and, you know, just at all of that symmetry of things happening, I emailed you, I think. I don't know. I hear you keep an archive of emails. There might be a first email if you really keep.
I probably have my old Microsoft Outlook archive.
All right.
Buried in some hard drive somewhere.
Buried in some hard drive is this. You know, at that point, I think I can't remember. I was like, I had just turned 30 at that point.
Did you have like a Hotmail account or something?
I had an AOL. So
oh, okay.
Look for AOL.
Okay.
Because it was.
I'll try to speed lunch.
Yeah. I may have even had dial up at that point.
Right.
Who knows how bad it was. You know, mm-hmm. I was like scrimping together three, you know, two other roommates. And I emailed you and then you called me, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Probably on my Palm Treo.
Maybe. But, you know, as I was saying, like I said to you, I was looking in your website and I've never seen all these things that you put together on it that are out there for us. Because I had gone to a social worker who basically didn't have any of these things for me. And, you know, was sending me to groups that didn't fit. And, you know, there were resources, but they weren't fit or sized to my experience. And I didn't know there was anybody else there out there in my community. Didn't know.
And all it took was happening upon an episode on Lifetime that I happened to star in as myself, that I wrote for myself.
That's all it took. And, you know,
it was just bizarre.
It is bizarre. It, you know, and art.
Well, that's the point of this episode. It's like all of this is irreplicable. This could never happen again in time.
It could never happen again because I think people, you know, are distracted by other things. Who knows? And,
right.
You know, but it just, you told me. At that point, because I was very passive and kind of hanging out on the couch, just frustrated with life. And you're the one that said, well, why don't you start something? And that was like epiphany.
And the rest was history.
And the rest was history.
And we're going to take a quick break. Maybe a Wegmans ad because you're from Rochester. Might be a Wegmans ad. I can't tell yet. But all right, we'll be right back.
All right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to spend the next half of the show talking about not just nostalgia for Gen X sake, but as a fan of history, understanding that maybe today we have better problems to have, but back in the 2000s, there was nothing.
Yeah.
And we had to build it from scratch. And if we didn't do it, no one would. And I, again, I'm agog at your memory. Because you remember,
I am too. It's coming back to me, Matthew. I didn't have all this, and I'm sitting here looking at you. I'm like, I remember.
Yeah, and I don't know if I came up to Rochester or
yes, something. Yes, you did.
I came up to Rochester.
You did, but only when I worked my tailbone off to make a fantastical weekend that we created. It started with the Stupid Cancer Happy Hour.
Right, right. Again, for the listeners, so I'm Too Young for This was the name of the nonprofit organization, but Stupid Cancer was the tagline. This is before hashtags were a thing, or like the slogan. Remember slogans?
Slogan.
Yeah, it was the slogan for I'm Too Young for This. So everything was the Stupid Cancer Show, yeah. The Stupid Cancer Store,
yeah.
The Stupid Cancer Happy Hour, and you hosted
a Stupid Cancer Happy Hour. And I had to convince a bar in my area that we could do this, that we could have a bunch of people together to do this. And I found one that hosted
it. Wait, tell me you remember the name.
Oh, God.
I'm going to really push your synapses today.
Okay.
It's going to come to you at some point.
Well, I tried first the Doctors in Rochester. And
that's not going to happen.
No, it didn't happen. They said no. So, oh my God, it's going to kill me. The Otter Lodge.
Holy shit.
Boom.
My God.
Shiga boom.
Jesus Christ. Maybe we're not that old.
And I'm still going to, they're still around. So props to the Otter Lodge in Rochester because they have a downstairs and an upstairs.
That's right.
And what they told me was they were willing to give me the downstairs cost free because we had to do it all with nothing.
Nothing.
And I said, I want to, you know, see what we could do. I'm going to ask some people for some donations of raffle prizes. And I'm just going to try to figure this out. And the bartender ended up telling me
that he was a cancer survivor.
Yes.
I remember.
Yes.
But this and was the days when we were like, kind of still in the cancer closet.
Oh,
it wasn't
yeah.
really something you were like, I won't say proud of.
Yeah.
But you there was no platform. I mean, we kind of hate likes and shares as just as Gen Xers, but there really wasn't any way to feel comfortable telling people
right.
that you were in this or had gone through this.
Except for that yellow bracelet.
Well, Livestrong really did change culture.
Yes.
I don't think they got enough credit for doing that because Lance really tanked the brand.
Right.
But, again, like they threw the baby out with the bathwater because the nonprofit – paved the way
absolutely
for me to rise from its ashes and build Stupid Cancer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those yellow bracelets were kind of a unifier.
Yes.
But usually it accompanied, you know, my grandfather, my aunt, or, you know, and it wasn't, you know, if you were in your 20s or 30s, it was like, it's me.
Right.
You know, but we...
You poor thing.
Yeah.
But you look great.
You're so inspiring. Yeah. That one became almost like ubiquitous. Like,
right.
Oh, really? I don't want to be inspiring anymore. No. I just want to live my life.
Yeah. I need to date somebody and get laid. I've heard that so many times. Like, can I just please get laid? I don't want to be sick anymore. Like, but that's real.
Yeah, that's real.
So real.
That is so real.
And no one was just coming out and saying that.
Right.
I mean, we remember when, like, sex and cancer was like this taboo conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Sage Bolte, props to Sage Bolte.
Oh, my God.
Was like the first sexologist in oncology.
Yeah.
And she defined it, that we could talk about this.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because when we did that weekend, it really exploded. I already had kind of a base to start it from because I started going on Craigslist to find
Holy
people.
Shit.
That's how we found our first survivors.
Craigslist.
I'm so sketchy,
Thank
Matthew.
Thank you, Craig.
I know. It was before all the like really weird stuff. But
so wait, Craigslist.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Craigslist. So what I did was I put a post out there because I was being told by everyone that there weren't a lot of young adult cancer survivors in Rochester. I said, well, if you're not going to help me find them, I'll find another way. So I wrote a post on Craigslist and I said, hey, is anybody in their 20s or 30s with cancer? That's it. And I heard from a couple people, and those same five friends I can still text them today.
It's the club you never wanted to join, but literally once you're there, you're family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they helped me get that happy hour going. And from there, you and I met a couple others, partnered with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Well, that was when we brought like a small conference.
Yes.
At that movie theater, I think, right? Was it at the movie theater or was that the year after?
That was a year after. Now I'm blanking. Now I'm starting to go.
Really pushing your brain today.
You are.
But you're right. Like, I do remember I brought up like the stupidcancer.com white t-shirts.
Yes.
And we all wore these white t-shirts.
There was
a photo somewhere in existence that you might have still.
Oh, there's tons. I just have to go back.
12 of us wearing Stupid Cancer. And the words were Stupid Cancer, the word dot and the word com.
Yeah.
Because back then no one knew what a dot
right.
and a com was.
Yeah.
So you had to like.
Well, we knew.
I mean, but no one knew it was a domain.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we put together basically like a weekend, right?
We did. Mm-hmm.
And we had workshops. I think Jill Larson?
Julie Larson.
Julie Larson. Thank you.
Another shout out name.
Yeah. Yeah. Another shout out name. She did a.
She was like the official young adult cancer psychotherapist.
Absolutely. She.
Like the first.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we didn't call it mental health back then. It was just called, like, please help me be unfucked.
Was that official?
I mean, you could technically go academic and say survivorship.
Right.
But, like, can I just please, again, can I just please get laid and get a job? Right? That was all exactly. we wanted at 24 years old.
Yeah. So, you know, it just turned my life around from being kind of that, not the victim mentality, because I didn't really have it full in the victim mentality, but passively accepting what was out there to saying, how can I be involved in the movement? And we were finding all these people at the same time, right? Like it was cool.
Well, I like to talk about how you give people what they never knew they needed.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. That's what I was doing back then.
That's what you were doing.
It was kind of like, this is what I wished I had in the 80s or the 90s or whatever it was. And like, if this is something that can help someone else. But like you said, like there was no like search engine. Was Google even barely a thing back then? using Ask Jeeves or...
I think Google was there back then.
Web crawler or something spider. I have no idea.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it really evolved because, you know, some of the stuff we did, you know, the happy hour, and those were the healthy people who were past cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to really get into it, I think the defining moment was finding someone who was still living their life and not going to make it and knew it.
Did you know that one of the lines I wrote for the side order of life scene was because I got a little shit from some of the DC folks that you shouldn't have a cancer meetup at a bar because hashtag, you know, or slogan,
yeah,
not okay. But my line in the TV show was that it's a stupid cancer happy hour because everyone's happy.
Yes.
And they can go fuck themselves if they think we're getting cancer drinking with chemotherapy.
I'm going to have to bleep you for my mom if she listens to this.
Hi, Mom. Hello, Mrs. Shearer. But eventually you found a husband.
I did.
Who's an actor.
I did, yeah.
And you found love.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's Noonan, but you'll always be Leah Shearer.
Yeah. Well, I'm Leah Noonan now to most people, but it's cool to hear that again.
I just love the throwback conversations. I'm going to try to reach out to some other people and see if they want to do an Eye to Eye throwback series.
Oh my gosh, you should, because we're all doing cool things.
And we're all still here. I mean, we've lost a lot of people that we love, which is unfortunately par for the course, but... Yeah. Most of us are still here and doing really, really well.
Yeah, and I think there's some really cool memories about experiences that we never dreamed possible in the swirl of what was going on.
Well, it's the relevance of the history.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of work today in diversity, equity, inclusion. And back then, we didn't ignore the fact that we were mostly all Caucasian. I mean, we had a lot of people coming in. There was diversity.
Yeah.
But there wasn't like an intentionally focused effort because progress is an ebb tide. You have to get to this point and then the ocean clears out and you see what you missed.
Right.
Like we didn't talk about gender back then. It was mostly women anyway.
Right.
It was like, you know, me and Kenny and maybe, you know, we could loosely mention Jack and some other people were the men.
Right.
But... You know, just getting through the hurdles of not dying and being treated like a 20-year-old and not an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this before on the show. You know this. The words, the very words, young adult cancer, mm-hmm. were never put together before. Those three words in order for research and advocacy and best practices and standards of care. And what did we say? We said, you know, not better or worse, just different. And here's why.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's what you found and you built.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about diversity and inclusion. And sometimes inclusivity has to hit you on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the way it happened for me, because as I was working with you to build a cancer community.
I2Y
Rochester. And then it became I2Y Upstate New York.
I think that's on my
right, card.
Because I think Buffalo and Syracuse got jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. And we wanted to kind of, you know, like.
Well, you're in the middle. So that makes it, everyone has to come east and west.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it hit me on the head when I saw this story about a guy who was running marathons with liver cancer, not after liver cancer, with it. And I said, I have to reach out to this guy. And I searched for him. I found his best friend. He emailed me back. And the next thing you know, I'm in the hospital with the two of them. And he's like, I want to go camping. Can we go camping? This guy was so sick. And, you know, he, you know, at that point knew it was going to be an uphill battle. His name was Zachary DeRitter.
And I remember him well. Tall, tall guy.
Tall,
very tall.
Tall, incredibly fit kid, a Mormon, who was on his I'm drawing a blank. You go on your mission.
Yes.
He had returned from his mission and been diagnosed with cancer. So after the mission, that's when things are supposed to pick up, and his life just dropped out from under him.
I met him once, thanks to you.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, in the chaos of life.
Yeah.
Regrettably, we lost him.
Yeah. I've got a picture just for those who can't see.
On the radio here in the studio, there's a picture of Zach DeRitter looking like Lance Armstrong, very, very handsome man.
But very thin. He's gaunt.
Well, he was
in
emaciated by that point.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And it was very
determined.
Sad to lose him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this kind of goes back to, I mean, like, be your own advocate. Fuck that. Like, how do you just snap into action?
Yeah.
And yet he was predetermined. And not everyone has that gumption out of the gate.
Yeah.
But he was exemplar of what it meant to just kind of lean in and own what was happening to you at any
Absolutely.
Cost, but give back to the community as you can.
Absolutely. His heart and soul was just like, I want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was concerned because he was the only one that was dying and everybody else was past that cancer, but trying to rebuild. His was still active.
Well, this created, back in the day, we called it survivor guilt.
Yeah.
Like, why am I still here?
Yeah.
And why is he still sick?
Right. But what happened around that community was magical. And when we had a bowling night, he had been in a coma and he had lost some, you know, dexterity and things like that. And I'll never forget. He leaned over. I'm sorry, I'm going to cry. He leaned over and realized that, people in the group realized he couldn't tie his shoes. And just everybody folded around. He had rides. He lived about 45 minutes away from where we were. He always had a ride back and forth to whatever location we had. And the only times he didn't attend one of our events was because he was in the hospital.
All right, let's take a second break.
Okay.
Which I rarely do, but this is really important.
Yeah.
And again, it just goes back to giving people a perspective on what it – I hate the word literally, what it took from like bare knuckles to prove that we were worthy of being taken seriously as an entire generation. So
absolutely.
Maybe another ad from Wegmans. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So let's do a bit of a coda.
Okay.
And I mean, we could talk for hours. And like I said, I you've inspired me to go back to the well in the old days.
Okay.
Without claiming we're officially old, although Gen X is turning 50 this year, which is astonishingly terrifying. I mean, at least I'm turning 50 this year.
So you are Gen X.
I was born in 74, which according to all the generation charts is the median of the bell curve of Gen X.
Okay.
So I'm going to own that.
All right.
So you've inspired me to go back down the well to the before times and get some of the old guard here on the show to give that perspective. It's so important today to realize that. And I said this at the top of the show, better problems to have. We had like four drugs back then. Now there's 4,000 drugs back then. It creates different problems to have.
Yeah.
Young adult cancer is now a standard. most cancer centers know you're not 8 or 80, and you go through the proverbial that door and not this door. Fertility advocacy is now a real thing now. What would be your sentiment towards the Gen Zers who are the new AYAs, who are living on social media that I just don't understand because I'm 50 or I'll be 50 shortly? What's your take on what they could hear today from geezers like us, from
the, oh my gosh,
the bare origins of just we deserve to exist?
Step outside. Don't live on, you know, the tools that we had made things possible, but we were still getting out in the community, and there was so much grassroots, and there was connecting with people. And I think that's what we need to always do. Look face to face. And gosh, this pandemic, you know, that robbed us of that time too. But we were all used to being bored and isolated for us, right? Like the pandemic, we got this, you know, but, I think that's what it's about, is looking around at what others need. And to be honest with you, I went to that social worker who told me that she didn't know of anything for young adults, and I photocopied your website with all the resources and links, and I said, please give this to other patients that come along that are my age. And I saw her throw it in a file drawer.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But that has changed. That changed in that time that we were in. So, you know, you don't necessarily become a leader or an advocate. You know, you don't wake up saying you want to be one. Sometimes it hits you on the head. And when I saw Zach, that really was my motivator and my inspiration to kind of keep going. Because I could have folded and said, you know, oh, I'm back to living my life. I don't, you know, I'm tired. I got to go back to work and, you know, do this. His thirst for coming out of that place of isolation was reason enough for me to kind of not only do it and do the work, but like just to kind of look at what other people needed too, not just my own needs. You have to look, you know, all around you.
Well, this has been one of, I hope, many throwback episodes to the, I'm just going to keep saying the before times. Yeah, and I know a lot of my listeners come from that time. They were fans of the Stupid Cancer Show, and it's wonderful that they're listening to this episode and this series as well. I guess closing thoughts, would you agree, or your thoughts on, not everyone is an advocate, but there are resources out there. But in terms of finding your community is still as important as ever, but on your terms means you have options now that we didn't have before. There are plenty of TikTok cancer advocates and plenty of Reddit forums and Discord forums that exist now.
Yeah.
But you're right. Get outside, see real people, but
fold in the other parts of life, right? All right, we're back at it. Finishing sentences. Fold in the other parts of life. Because you can't live in some kind of like echo chamber of your own stuff.
And pay it forward.
And pay it forward.
Make it suck less for the next you. Remember that? That was the original tag.
Yes.
Like we're here to make cancer suck less for the next you.
And we did. And, you know, like, and people are continuing that work. And you know, hopefully it'll continue to get better. But, you know, here's the thing. I work in nonprofit now. And I develop skills while I was doing that, you know. It was kind of like an internship in a weird sort of way, you know. Like I skill developed toward the professions and the career that I have now. And, you know, that's what life is, experience and kindness and
hard knocks.
And hard knocks sometimes.
Leah Shearer, Leah Noonan, Leah Shearer.
Leah Noonan now.
I'm thrilled to physically see you in person, let alone have you on the show, and provide my audience, you, the listeners, you people, with another reminder that progress is a slow bend toward justice, and we have better problems to have today. So thank you. Thank you for everything.
And thank you.
Out of Patience with Matthew Zachary is an Off-Script Health production. The executive producers are Matthew Zachary and Andrew McDowell. It's mixed and edited by Kyle Moore. If you like the show, ratings and reviews are always welcome. Leave us a message anytime at 855-AUDIO-66. That's 855-AUDIO-66 to share your healthcare shitness with us, and we might just play them on the air on a future episode. For more information about this show and Off-Script Health, visit offscript.com. That's offscript, no T, .com.